The size of incrementality for any particular recommendation, be it a new product or a new promotion, is probably the most exaggerated KPI we marketers bring to the office of the CEOs. Therefore, we will analyze the incrementality phenomenon today. Les Binet frequently made the observation regarding the promotion and pricing strategies and attribution analysis in general, that most of the incremental effect that marketers think comes from these promotions actually comes from the subsidized promo sales, means with micro profit if any at all, from time shifted purchase or from relocated purchase, but not from being incremental. The analysis that I've recently done over the 3 decades of data from the automotive industry, personal care, and food categories suggests that the incremental effect is overestimated by the factor of 10 or even more. Just to give you a perspective, a chocolate market in the US has been growing on average by $0.3 billion a year, with over 800 new SKUs launched every year. This gives some 350 incremental dollars per SKU. So a medium chocolate brand of say 5% market share, so generating close to 1 billion sales, would then need to be honestly saying to their stakeholders, "Dear stakeholders, we are launching this new chocolate product and this will bring on average $350,000, so we are expecting the growth of 0.04%. 0.04%. You imagine that? Never. Of course they would say 3, 4, 5% incremental sales, which then would mean that they would be exaggerating by the factor of 100. Another example comes from the Australian automotive market. Till 2014, the compound annual growth rate of the new models available in the market was growing some 3-4% a year, with average sales per model declining 0.5% a year. Very intuitive. After 2014, the number of models started to decline and obviously the average sales per model has sunk by a staggering 17% a year. Imagine launching a new model in those circumstances and recommending the actual incremental effect. These numbers suggest that some categories, especially those saturated and more mature, are becoming much more commoditized without clear USPs across different brands. Symmetry of information, technology, similar access to resources, same challenges with supply chain and costs, all that makes it very hard to stand out. So, what we can do to maximize our chances of growing incrementally? Point 1. Understand which motivations in your category drive the biggest business, and be distinctive in execution but not differentiated on those motivations. That means that when you're launching a body lotion, you will always have a bigger business positioning your new product, your new body lotion, in the care area rather than in the refreshing area. Differentiating on the need state will limit here your potential. But of course, communicate in a distinctive manner versus competition for a maximum mental availability effect, which effectively will drive the final incremental effect. Point 2. Understand the impact of your potentially incremental new product on your processes, your costs and your P&L, and whether or not it addresses an actual new usage occasion. When Nivea was launching a body mousse as an extension to their body lotion, the usage occasion of the mousse versus the body lotion was basically identical, but the process to produce it was very new and very much more expensive, hence the relative failure of the mousse. But when Wrigley was launching their chewing gum in a 46-piece bottles, the usage occasion of the bottle versus a 10-piece pack was very new to consumers, like a usage in a car or in the office. And it addressed also the personal out-of-stock situation, problematic for Wrigley. But the process to produce this new bottle was very similar till the very much final packaging stage, hence the success of this product. Point 3. Consider whether the new product you intend to launch has an extra power to boost your brand. Boosting your brand can support the sales of other products in your portfolio, and the incrementality effect might be effectively larger than coming just from this one new product. Like Mustang for Ford, or Wii for Nintendo, or Nuts and Spices for Kind. They are just some examples of this approach. Point 4, and the final one for this episode. Just be rigorously clear where this incrementality can actually come from. And it can come from the changed consumer behavior substantially in three areas. One, either you're inviting new consumers to your brand, like launching a lemon-flavored beer to your standard beer brand, or when you're inviting current consumers to use you more often, like in our previous example of the chewing gum in 46-piece bottles instead of 10-piece small packs. And finally, when you're inviting current consumers to pay more for the same usage occasion, like McDonald's launching in their menu a $10 barbecue Angus burger, replacing a current $3 standard burger consumed in the same usage occasion. Incrementality is tricky. It fails us continuously, and we continuously attribute it to wrong levers in our communications, promotions, or pricing strategies. But when done right, with the right insight, anchoring the assumptions behind the incrementality in key motivations of a category, supporting with a new need state, and launching it in a way that can support our entire brand, it can become a game changer. And this is what I wish you all to pull off every time you are putting a presentation deck together to convince your organization to invest in the next most incremental initiative our brand has ever had. See you in the next episode.